You know this, and it's not going to be new information, but us human beings, we all require a certain amount of things in order to exist and survive. We require water. You know, we can't live very long without water. We require food, oxygen, sleep, shelter. All of those things, you require those things. You need those things. You have to have those things. I have to have those things. We all have to have those things. You got to have water. You got to have food. Some of us got to have more food than others, but we got to have food. We got to have oxygen. We got to have sleep, and sleep's like food. Some of you need much more than others in order to exist and survive, and we need shelter. And of course, without saying, we need an environment which facilitates all of those needs. And as human beings, we're so dependent on things like oxygen and food and water and shelter and sleep. If any one of those things are not present, if any one of those needs are not met, then we humans cannot exist and we cannot survive. But even though we know that's true, there's a but. As human beings, there's something inside of all of us. There's something inside of you, and there's something inside of me which wants more than just to exist and survive. There's something inside of you, there's something inside of me that needs to do more than just exist or survive. We desire more than just to exist and survive. On the deepest level of who you are and in the deepest level of who I am, what's true for all of us human beings, we know that it's just not enough to exist or survive. We want to live and thrive. We just don't want to exist, we want to live. We just don't want to survive, we want to thrive. And we know that to just merely exist and survive, it feels like we're falling short of the mark. To just exist and survive, it feels like we're missing the target. It feels like we're settling for less when we just exist and survive. It feels like we're forfeiting the way our lives were intended to be when we settle for existing and surviving. This desire, this need, this want inside of you and inside of me to live and thrive, it's something that just seems innate. It seems as though it's been put inside of you and inside of me from the very beginning, because inside of you and inside of me, as we were born, and as we begin to grow, and as we begin to understand time, and as we begin to understand life, and as we begin to understand days and weeks and months and years, there was just something inside of you that wanted to cling to life as long as possible. There was something inside of me that just wanted to cling to life as long as possible. And consequently, we all have this desire for more years of life. That's just who we are. That's how we're wired. We all want more years of life. But there's something else that goes on deep inside of us beyond just wanting more years of life. There's something inside of all of us that wants more life in those years. That's true of you. That's true of me. And so as we go through life, and as you live your life, and as I live my life, and as we come across people, and we inevitably do, and oftentimes we work with them, or maybe we have them in our family, or we'll see them at the restaurant today after church, or whatever it is, there's something strikingly and inherently tragic when we see someone who's just existing and surviving, but they're not living and they're not thriving. There's just something that seems off about that. There's just something that seems wrong about that. There's just something that misses the mark, that falls short. We know that when someone's just existing and surviving, that there's supposed to be more to their life than just existing and surviving. But why do we know that? And how do we know that? And again, it's because perhaps God has wired that into every single one of us human beings. And we know that's not how it's supposed to be. Existing and surviving is the bottom shelf. That's the starting point. And we're not supposed to just be satisfied with that. And we're just not supposed to settle for that. We aren't sure how we know that we're not supposed to settle for that. We just know that there's a belief inside of each one of us. And there's this whisper that says there's more to life than just existing and surviving. That's not the way things were intended to be. That's not the way it was supposed to be in your life or supposed to be in my life. When someone exists and they only survive, that's kind of stagnant living. That's suffocating living. That's tragic. It's isolating. It's painful, and it's just hard to watch. Existing, surviving, that's just biology. That's just biological function of your body and mine. When our bodies do what they're supposed to do, when your organs are functioning the way they're supposed to function, when you're doing what you're supposed to do at the cellular level, that's your body clinging to life, to exist and survive. But you're just not a body. You're also mind. You're also spirit. You're also soul. And there's something down there on that profoundly fundamental level of your soul or your spirit or your mind, that part of you which transcends biology, which you are and which I am, but that fundamental part of who we are knows that life is more than oxygen, it's more than food, it's more than water, it's more than shelter, it's more than sleep. We need something more, and here's what we need. We all need purpose. Let's all just say purpose together. Ready? Let's go. Purpose. We need purpose, just not to exist and survive. That's what makes us want to exist and survive. But beyond wanting to exist and survive, it's purpose that we crave. It's purpose that we require. It's purpose that we need in order to live and thrive. Having a sense of purpose, having a sense of purpose in your life brings life to your life. And the reason that it brings life to your life and life to my life is because God wired you that way and God wired me that way. And there's no way to put life in your life in a fundamental, sustaining way other than to have purpose in your life. And as people of faith, as followers of Jesus, we believe that God, He created us on purpose for a purpose. That God created you on purpose for a purpose, and you live your best life and I live my best life when I feel as though I have a purpose for my life. Now, regardless of ever how God chose to bring us about as far as a species go and ever how the emergence of human life actually took place, here's the fact of the matter and here's what we believe as Christians. We are not cosmic accidents. We are not the inconsequential, unintended effect of some accidental cause. Because if that were the case, then nothing has purpose. And if nothing has purpose, nothing has meaning, and nothing has significance in any inherited way or innate way. It's just all ascribed value and ascribed significance. But if we are on purpose in God's mind and in God's heart, created for a purpose, then everything has meaning and everything can have significance. Now, you might have been your parents' accident, but you were not God's accident. I may have been my parents' accident. I don't know. I may have come, backseat of a car, a couch, and a dent. I don't know. They've never told me the story. I don't want to know. I don't ask. But even if I were my parents' accident, I am still a person, individual, created in the mind of God, in the heart of God, on purpose for a purpose. So with that purpose comes value and dignity and significance and this opportunity for greatness that you have and I have. And purpose is the thing that moves us from existing and surviving to living and thriving. And it's a really big deal and we don't think enough about it, but purpose is a powerful thing. And without purpose, we all just tend to get distracted and we get bored and we get anxious and we get discontent. And in the end, to live a life without purpose, no matter how full our life is and no matter how fortunate our life is, we end up feeling empty. And the reason that we feel empty is because all the parts of our life, and we've got all these parts to our life, and there's good parts, but none of them feel connected to any cohesive purpose. There's no connection between the parts of our life and the purpose of our life. And when the parts of our life are disconnected from a central purpose for our life, we feel empty and we feel unfulfilled and we feel like something's perpetually missing. And what's missing is a cohesive purpose that makes sense of all the points and all the parts of our life. Because if something's perpetually missing, if something's perpetually missing in your life or my life, we're gonna always think that there's a missing piece of the puzzle that's gonna complete everything, and we're gonna go look for it over here, and we're gonna look for it over there, and we're gonna add another part here, and another part there, another part here, another part there. But no matter how many parts we add, without a central, cohesive, unifying purpose, we just kind of feel like something's missing. But when we live with purpose, it changes everything because now all the parts of our life has new significance and it has new value and we can see it through a brand new perspective because now all the parts of our life are connected to a central purpose in our life. And as we live with this purpose, our life is a directed life. We're no longer aiming, aimlessly at things, but now we're aimed at worthy targets and we're aimed in the direction of things that bring us fulfillment and bring us life. Purpose is the thing, and that's why I want to talk about it today. Purpose is the thing that reminds you that your life, it matters. It reminds me that my life matters. And purpose reminds you and reminds me that there is a reason. There is a reason that I'm alive this morning. And there is a reason that you are alive this morning. There is a reason behind your experiences. There is a reason behind your existence. Now, if you go through life questioning that, and if I go through life questioning that, then it's just gonna be a real difficult thing, this thing called life. Have you ever been sitting in a meeting before, or you were in an event and you thought to yourself, there's absolutely no purpose in me being here right now? Yeah, some of you. Hopefully you're not talking about this morning. But it's like, you know, there's absolutely no reason for this. I'm sitting in this meeting, this is a complete, there's no purpose to this. There's no purpose for me being here. And when we feel that way in a meeting or an event or whatever it is, you know, we disengage, we check out, we get distant, everything becomes meaningless, we're not invested. And the same thing happens in life. If you and I ever have the thought that we entertain for too long, that there's really no central purpose to life, there's no central purpose behind the existence of humanity, there's no central purpose behind your existence or my existence, we end up checking out. And everything just becomes meaningless, and everything just seems insignificant, and everything just seems disconnected because there's no cohesive purpose that unifies everything to one. That's why we never feel more alive than when we are convinced there is a purpose behind us being alive. That's purpose, the reason we exist. The worst thing in the world is not dying young. The worst thing in the world is dying without ever figuring out why you were alive to begin with. Purpose is a means to an end that's greater than you, greater than me, that outlives you. And when our lives are a means to an end, that's where we find meaning. If you are the end to everything that you do, and if I am the end to everything that I do, there's no meaning in that. But when I am a means to something greater, something bigger, something that outlasts me, something that transcends me, when I make myself and see my life and all the parts of my life as a means to a greater end than myself, I find meaning in that. And then all the parts of my life begins to have a brand new significance because all of these parts are just avenues. They're means to a greater end. My career is a means to an end. My wealth is a means to an end. My gifts are a means to an end. Everything about me is a means to a greater end, and it helps bring everything into perspective and focus. And then we wake up every day and we realize that today has value. Today has worth. My life has value. It has worth. But here's the thing, for us living in 2024, living in the West, here in the good, God-blessed United States of America, there's something that stands in the way for many of us as it relates to living a life of purpose. And for many of us, the enemy, when it comes to the purpose of our life, the enemy is the pace of our life. A lot of people, a lot of parents, a lot of middle schoolers, a lot of high schoolers, a lot of moms, a lot of dads feel overextended, overcommitted, and overwhelmed. Now, if you've ever felt overcommitted, overextended, and overwhelmed, say, uh-huh. Okay, all right, overcommitted, overextended, overwhelmed. When you feel that way, it's very difficult to have a real sense of purpose. When you feel overextended, overcommitted, and overwhelmed on a day-to-day basis consistently, it's hard to live every day with a sense of purpose that drives you and pulls you towards something bigger and greater than yourselves. It's hard when we feel overextended, overcommitted, and overwhelmed to see how the purpose that lies at the heart of our life is connected to all the individual parts of our life. And so the pace of their life, maybe the pace of your life, for many people, the pace of their life has overtaken the purpose of their life. We feel rushed more than we feel inspired. Which one would be better, to feel rushed or to feel inspired? Well, we know the answer to that, but for many of us, we feel rushed far more than we feel inspired. We feel senses of obligation more than we feel motivation. We feel empty more than we feel fulfilled. We feel exhausted more than we feel energized. We feel, you know, consumed with what's urgent rather than what's most important because the pace of our life is edging out the purpose of our life. And for some people, the pace of their life is the greatest problem in their life. We just don't happen to know it. We've chosen to be overextended. And that's the thing, that's the rub. We've chosen to be involved in all the things that we're involved in. We didn't have to be, we chose to be. And by choosing to be overextended and by choosing to be overcommitted, we chose to be overwhelmed because these are all the results of our choices. We overcommitted, we overextended, we didn't have to. Now, we had good reasons, we justified it. We had a good, reasonable explanation for why we are involved in all the things that we're involved in. But at the end of the day, we chose to be. We didn't have to be. And so we're left feeling overwhelmed, overcommitted, overextended. And because of that pace, we live much of our life without any conscious thinking when it comes to the purpose of our life. We end up underperforming in all the most important areas because the pace of our life is all about the things that feel urgent, that are not necessarily important. Because of it, we neglect our faith, we neglect our closest relationships, we neglect our purpose. We live life trying to keep up. We try to cover all the bases. We're trying to make sure that we do all the things that we feel like we have to do, but we don't have to do them. We've just chosen to do them. And now we tell ourselves we have to do them. And then at the end of the day, end of most days, a lot of us, what do we have to show for it? Deeper relationships? Not so much. A deeper sense of faith? Not so much. A sense of accomplishment or fulfillment? Not so much. Fatigue? Oh yeah. Frustration? Absolutely. And a little bit of fret, because guess what? We get to wake up and do it all over again tomorrow. So it's the pace of life. And if that's you, if this kind of speaks to you, or you know, maybe partially speaks to you, then you're not alone. Because today, we're gonna talk a little bit about Moses, this famed leader of Israel. And Moses was a really important guy, and Moses had a lot to do. I mean, you think you have a lot to do, Moses actually had a lot to do. But Moses got himself in a situation where the pace of his life was overtaking, overshadowing, and eclipsing the purpose of his life. And that brings us to the unsung hero that we're gonna talk about today, which is Moses' father-in-law, a man by the name of Jethro. Now, we don't talk a lot about Jethro, and you've probably not thought about Jethro lately. But hopefully Jethro is gonna be able to speak into your life and speak into my life the way that he spoke into Moses' life. Now, Jethro and the story of him and Moses brings us to Exodus chapter 18. And let me just summarize, you know, the first 17 chapters of the book of Exodus. God's people were slaves. God set them free. Now they're trying to learn how to be free. You know, all the plagues, you know, Moses went to Pharaoh, let God's people go. And it was big. It was dramatic. It was incredible. It was awesome. And at the end of a long drawn out ordeal, Pharaoh learned a lesson, a very hard, difficult way. And he ultimately decided to let God's people go. And Moses led the nation of Israel, millions of them, led them across, you know, a parted Red Sea. And now they're moving further away from Egypt and they're moving closer to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is gonna be the place where God meets Moses, gives him the law. So this is about 4 months after Israel left Egypt, about 4 months. So, you know, that's a lot of days, that's a lot of weeks. It could have been maybe, you know, 8 months, but it was probably between 4 to 6, could have been as long as 8. So it's been about 4 to 8 months since Israel left Egypt. And they've been traveling away from Egypt, they've been making their way to Sinai, and they're gonna spend the next 2 years at Mount Sinai. They're gonna camp there and they're gonna learn how to be free and they're gonna learn how to be a people of law and they're gonna learn how to interrelate to each other as a community. So they got a lot to learn and it's gonna take them some time. Before they can ever go take the promised land, they're gonna have to learn how to live as free people. Now, as they're camping at Sinai, Jethro comes to visit because for some reason, Moses has sent his wife and his children to go be with Jethro. I think probably because he didn't know how everything was gonna turn out. It might've been dangerous for his wife, may have been dangerous for his children. So he wanted to, you know, put them, you know, outside of harm's way and wanted them to be safe with Jethro. Now, Moses and Jethro, they've been in a relationship with each other for over 40 years because Moses, after he killed a guy in Egypt and he fled to the backside of the desert, he ends up meeting, you know, his wife and ends up marrying her and ends up working for his father-in-law, tending to his father-in-law's sheep for around 40 or so years. So Jethro and Moses have a long history with each other. So here comes Jethro, and here comes Moses' wife, and here comes his children. And Moses, he goes out, he sees Jethro coming, and he runs out to Jethro, and he bows down and he kisses his father-in-law. You know, like a lot of us meet our father-in-law every time they visit, right? He goes out and bows and kisses his father-in-law and says, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you." And so Jethro says, "How's it going?" And Moses is like, "It's going so good. And you know, I've got quite a story to tell you because that whole Egypt thing, it was way more awesome than I thought it was gonna be. And I've got stories to tell you about frogs and plagues and, you know, rivers that turn to blood and hell and locust and death angels, and it's gonna be great. We're gonna have a great time at dinner tonight." And so they talk for a few moments, and Jethro says, "I'm so pleased, I'm so proud of you." And they have dinner and they all hang out. And it's going to be a great night. It's kind of like a family reunion. But at the end of that family reunion that night, after they celebrated and, you know, had dinner and drinks with each other, the next day, Moses is going to go on his normal day-to-day routine that he's been in for months. And that's where we pick up the story. It says, the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. Now, we're talking about the fact that Moses is leading between 3 and 5 million people. So if you're a leader, you know, if you're an executive, if you're a manager, whatever, Exodus 18 has been one of the most monumental leadership chapters in all of the scripture. And Exodus 18 has also been used in judicial systems in various cultures, including our own judicial system here in America, as a model. So there's so many different applications within this chapter. It's really one of the most brilliant chapters in all of the Old Testament, just because it's so rich in so much truth. So there's stuff in it for leaders, there's stuff in it for managers, there's stuff in it for parents, there's stuff in it for individuals. There's really something in here for everybody. Moses is leading 3 to 5 million people. That's no easy task. So you can just think about that for a moment. He is the guy, he's the leader. Now, it's one thing to have one person coming to you and telling you their problems. It's another thing to have a couple people come and telling you their problems. And some of you who are leaders and, you know, or you just have friends that are needy, you know what this is like. I mean, that can be a bit exhausting. But think about waking up from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, and all you are doing is trying to solve people's problems. All you're trying to do is listen to other people's problems and their drama. This is what Moses is doing. He's the guy, he's the leader. He's leading a group of slaves that are trying to learn how to not act like slaves and behave like slaves, and how to think and behave and live as free people. So there's a lot of drama. Just like you got a lot of drama, these people had a lot of drama, and they're bringing all their drama, all their stuff, they're bringing to Moses day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out, from sunup to sundown, sunup to sundown. And Moses, he's sitting here and he's listening to all this all day long. And the very thought of that for me is absolutely exhausting. I'm good with one. I may be able to stand in there for three. But after the third one, I would be lifeless, and I would walk back into the Red Sea and not look back. But here's Moses. This is what he's doing. And he's trying to teach these people how to handle things, and he's trying to settle all these disputes. And it says, when his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people. So Jethro, he wakes up and hey, where's Moses? And he goes out and he's just paying attention. When he saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this you are doing for the people? What are you doing? Why do you alone sit as judge? So what are you doing, Moses, and why are you doing it the way that you're doing it? What are you doing, and why are you doing it that way? While all these people stand around you from morning till evening, what are you doing, and why are you doing it that way? That's a good question. That's just a good question as it relates to the pace of your life, the pace of my life, the way that we're choosing to live our lives, the things that we commit to, the overextension, the overcommitment, the overwhelm. What are you doing, and why are you doing it that way? What are you doing, and why are you doing it the way you're doing it? What are you doing, Moses, and why are you doing it that way? I mean, it's a good question. And so he's paying attention to what Moses is doing. Now Moses, he's taken all this responsibility upon himself. And nobody's asked him to do this. Nobody has told him that he has to do this. He's just chosen to do this. He's just decided that, hey, if I don't do it, nobody else will, nobody else can. And so he just assumes the responsibility for himself. He has chosen to place himself in this particular situation. And so Jethro comes out, and again, what are you doing, and why are you doing it that way? Moses, what are you trying to accomplish? Really, what are you trying to accomplish here? And Moses, what are you wanting to accomplish? And what you are actually accomplishing, is it the same thing as what you are trying to accomplish? Are they the same thing, or are they very different things? And this is what Jethro is offering Moses. He's offering him insight. What are you doing, and why are you doing it? And what you ultimately want to accomplish, is that what you're practically accomplishing by what you're doing from the morning until the evening? Moses has assumed this responsibility, and don't miss this. He assumes this responsibility. He chooses this responsibility for himself. And so this responsibility leads to activity. And Moses begins to find his identity in this activity, which is connected to responsibility that he's assumed for himself. And the same thing can happen to you and happens to me, and it certainly happens in our culture because, you know, busyness is a badge of honor. And we love to get into contests with one another, with who's busier. I'm telling you, we're just going at it. We're going at it real hard. I mean, we're gone every night. We're not in before 10. We're not in before 11. I'm telling you, we're so busy, we never stop. We're burning it at both ends. I'm telling you, it's never been busier. It's never been harder. And like it's something like we're supposed to clap or something. Like, oh man, you're busy. That's great. That's wonderful. Moses is busy, but Jethro doesn't assume busy is a virtue. He doesn't assume the fact that his calendar is full. He doesn't necessarily consider that that is something productive. He's producing, but maybe he's not so productive. Jethro could see what Moses couldn't see. And perhaps there's some people in your life that can see what you can't see because you can't see the whole picture when you're actually part of the picture. Sometimes it's hard for us to see the unhealthy patterns that we've fallen into as it relates to our pace, our lives, our schedule, our approach to accomplish what we think we want to ultimately accomplish. Sometimes we can't see the patterns that we've got into as leadership or as moms or as dads or whatever it may be. And so he says, what are you doing and why are you doing it that way? And Moses can't see the problem because Moses is part of the problem. And Moses has really helped to create the problem. And so Jethro goes out and sees immediately what Moses has been neck deep in for months and has no idea about. So what are you doing and why are you doing it? And Moses answered him and said, because the people come to me to seek God's will. They need me, Jethro. Now, Moses had a reason for doing what he was doing. We all have a reason for doing what we're doing. And we all have a reason for doing what we do the way that we do it. He's covered his dysfunctional, though he doesn't know it yet, his dysfunctional, unsustainable pace. He's clothing it in virtuous garbs. This is important. This is about God. This is about God's will. He had a lot of good reasons for doing something Jethro knew was not really so good. And the same can be true for us. We can have a lot of good reasons for doing something that's not really so good. Moses, he pulled the God card. It's all about God's will, Jethro. I mean, who else can do this? It was God who came to me at the burning bush. I mean, I was the guy who went and stood face to face with Pharaoh. I mean, who else can do what I can do? Who else has to offer what I have to offer? Who has such insight? Who has such brilliance? Who has such capacity, Jethro, than me? Nobody could possibly do it this way. Nobody could possibly do it this good. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me. And I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. So again, he has his reasons. He thinks that what he's doing is good work. His excuses sound good. And on some level, what he's doing feels good. It's gratifying on some level to Moses. And again, Moses is a reflection of you and me because we've all got these excuses for doing some things that we've convinced ourselves are good and necessary, but perhaps in the reality of our ultimate purpose and even our ultimate goals, they're not really so good after all. Moses felt like this was necessary. He felt like this was just how the game had to be played. He felt like this was the system. I have to do this. I don't have a choice. This is the way we have to do this. We have to play to pay. We have to pay to play. We have to do it this way. This is the way it is. And Moses, this is a good word for some of us, not all of us, but for some of us. Moses confused being needed with what was needed. He confused being needed with what was needed. We all want to feel needed. We want to feel like our kids need us. We want to feel like the people at the office need us. We want to feel needed. But just because we feel needed and just because it makes us feel needed doesn't necessarily mean that it's needed. And this is where Moses is. It feels needed. Like, this has to be done. This needs to be done. And it makes him feel needed. But Jethro's gonna tell him, this isn't needed. He didn't ask for this responsibility. He just assumed it. He got swept up into other people's drama and other people's problems. And after a while, he just made it part of who he was and what he did. It wasn't adding value to his life. It felt urgent, but it wasn't so much important. And Moses' father-in-law says, replied, what you are doing is not good. But I'm ministering all day long. I'm serving people all day long. I mean, I am wading into people's problems and the labyrinth of their complexity, Jethro. But you're telling me it's not good? And that had to sting a little bit. Moses, you feel like it's good, but I'm telling you it's not good. And it's not good because this pace, your approach, it's edging out your greater purpose. What you're doing from sunup to sundown is robbing you from the potential to have greater contribution, to have greater impact. Your pace is edging out your purpose. Your ultimate goals are being sacrificed because of what you are choosing to do and how you're choosing to do it, Moses. There's more important things that you can be doing, and there's greater impact that you could be having, but you've got sucked into this. You feel like it's needed, but it's not. So Jethro can see what Moses can't see, that too much good can be a bad thing. And even when you think it's a good thing, it may not be a good thing at all. Moses is doing what a lot of us do. He confused the urgent with the important. That's what he did. He was confusing what was urgent with what was important. And he assumed because it felt urgent that it must be important. And Jethro comes to him and says, it may feel urgent, but just because it's urgent to them, just because it's important to them, doesn't make it important to you, Moses. That's not being uncaring. That's not being unkind. This is a matter of purpose. This is a matter of potential. This is a matter of making maximum impact. And you are letting the pace of what you're involved in swallow up and eclipse your purpose. Because Moses, you feel rushed. And when you feel rushed, you're not at your best. None of us are at best when we feel rushed. And if you're going through life feeling rushed all the time, you can't possibly be at your best. Grayson and I, we were making dinner last night, and he said, I wanna help cut the potatoes. And I said, okay, you can cut the potatoes. Let's get you a nice, good, sharp knife, because dull knives, that's a disaster, you know, waiting to happen. Let me get you a real good, sharp knife, and let me show you what to do. And I demonstrated what I wanted him to do and how I wanted him to do it. And then he just started going. And I knew what I was talking about today, so it was on my mind. I said, Grayson, your pace is about to eclipse your skill. And he kept going, and he kept going. And a few minutes later, I heard a, Oh, what was the, G? I cut my finger. Now, when his pace was in line with his skill, he was doing it just fine. But you get rushed and you begin to outpace your skill, you begin to outpace your purpose, bad things begin to happen. When you're rushed, you're not at your best. He's overextended, and when you're overextended, you remove the potential for depth in your life. That's what Moses was doing. He was so overextended, he had to be shallow. He had to be shallow. He didn't have to be as shallow as he was, but because he was overextending, he was choosing to be shallow rather than having depth. And Moses, he couldn't see it, but Jethro could see it. Moses is stretched, and when you are stretched, there's a lot of tension, there's a lot of stress, and the longer that stress and tension is held, the greater the capacity is for something to break, something to fracture. Moses is constantly depositing from morning till evening, just depositing, 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 depositing. But he doesn't have time to invest in himself. And when you give out deposits into other people's lives and you're not investing in your own, sooner or later, what happens to the account? You get overdrawn. Moses is pouring out what's in his cup to everybody else's. Here you go. Here's a little for you, a little for you, a little for you, a little here. Here's some grace. Here's some instruction. Here's some wisdom. And if you don't have time, or you don't have somebody else, and you don't have a mechanism to put your cup, put something back in your cup, sooner or later, your cup's going to be empty. Moses is trying to light other people's fire. But if somebody is not busy fanning his, if he doesn't have a plan, if he doesn't have margin to keep his own fire burning, sooner or later, he's not going to have a fire to help anybody else start one. And Jethro says, this is not good. And Jethro might be saying to some of us, this is not good. Because if your whole life is depositing in everybody else and there's no time where you are getting investment in you, sooner or later, you're going to be overdrawn. And if you're pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, and there's never anything being poured into your cup, sooner or later, you're going to have nothing to offer. Nothing to offer your children, nothing to offer your family, nothing to offer your friends. And if you let your fire go out, how are you going to at all light somebody else's fire? So the lesson is, don't confuse urgent with important. Just because it feels urgent doesn't make it important. And when we confuse urgent with important, our pace and our purpose get out of sync. And our pace begins to edge out our purpose. And we begin to be driven by what's urgent rather than what's important. Everything in your life, probably, by and large, it feels urgent. You gotta be there. It has to happen. There's a schedule. There's a timeline. There's responsibility. There's obligations. There's commitments. But just because it feels urgent doesn't mean that it's actually important. There's someone who made this a long time ago. It's the four quadrants of life. And in your quadrant, one quadrant of your life, there's the urgent and the important. It feels urgent and it happens to be important. That's a crisis. That's a deadline. That's, hey, a pipe broke. You know, there was a disaster on the manufacturing floor. Whatever it is, it's urgent and important. It feels urgent and it is important. Now, that's the exception and not the rule, because this is mainly crisis. But then we've got urgent, but not important. And again, that's what we just got through talking about. It feels urgent, but it's not. I gotta go there. I gotta call them. I gotta text them. No, you don't. We have to be there. No, you're choosing to be there. And you're confusing urgent with important. It's urgent, but it's not important. Then there's not urgent and not important. That's just trivial. That's social media. That's I gotta clean a closet. I gotta mop the floor. I mean, it's not urgent. It's not important. Now, you let it go long enough, it could become urgent and important, but in a moment it's not. And then you've got not urgent, but important. And this is where we struggle. Because oftentimes the most important things in your life and mine, they don't feel urgent. Exercise. It's important. But it doesn't feel urgent. You don't get out of the bed in the morning. Hey, we gotta go. And your spouse looking at, what? We gotta exercise. We gotta go. Hey, it's 5:15, let's go. No. You wake up, No, doesn't feel urgent. It must not be important. Eating right? Let's get spiritual. Praying? I don't feel urgent except when all hell breaks loose over here in quadrant one. Investing in relationships, investing in friendships, spending time thinking, planning, evaluating, thinking about how I'm actually living life, thinking about how I should live my life, thinking about am I living my life on purpose, with purpose? Those things don't feel urgent, but they're important. And so, you know, our response, you know, we learn these, and I think this is what Jethro is getting to. When it comes to these things, we do them. When it comes to these things, we have to plan for them. When it comes to this, we can delegate them. And then when it comes to that, we can just eliminate it. And so Moses he doesn't know any of this stuff, but he's learning it because he's got a good man by the name of Jethro in his life, who's reminding him, don't allow the most urgent to edge out the most important, which I think many of us can be guilty of from time to time. Where do we spend most of our energy? Where do you spend most of your energy? On what's most urgent or what's most important? Which one? Most of the time it's on what's most urgent, but not necessarily what's most important. Moses was undermining his own well-being and what he didn't understand, the well-being of everybody else, because his pace was not in rhythm with his purpose. He was consumed with what was most urgent, but not most important. And Jethro says to him, you and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You can't handle it alone. You're gonna wear yourself out. And the Hebrew there just means, it's what we would call in the English burnout. You're gonna dry out. You're gonna wither. You're gonna die. You're gonna have a slow fade, Moses. And what was happening for Moses and to Moses, this can happen to all of us in any context of life, professionally, relationally, parentally, doesn't matter. You can wear yourself out with the pace of your life. You can wither away, you can dry out, you can die on the vine when your pace outmaneuvers your purpose. In other words, Moses, your cup is gonna go empty, your fire is gonna burn out, your love's gonna grow cold, and everything's gonna become mechanical, and it's not gonna be authentic and organic to you. You're just gonna end up going through the motion. It's gonna be too heavy for you, and you're gonna eventually collapse. And it's not gonna be good for you, and it's not gonna be good for anybody else. You're gonna have nothing to give to what's worthwhile if you don't change. The most important things in your life, Moses, are gonna suffer if you don't adjust the pace. If you keep giving all your energy and passion and attention and focus to all these other things, you're not gonna have anything worthwhile to give to what's most important. Moses, don't you know you can accomplish more by doing less? The non-essential things, the unnecessary things that you've chosen to be a part of, you don't realize, but it's smothering out your capacity to do the essential and the necessary well. It's causing you to neglect what's most important and you don't even see it. The inferior and the urgent is getting the best of you. And you're gonna end up giving the best of you to the least important things rather than giving the best of you to the most important things. You're gonna give the most important things leftovers. That's what the most important things are gonna get. They're gonna get your leftovers because you've spent all of your energy, all of your time, all of your resources over here doing something you think is good and worthwhile, but Moses, it's just not so good when you really think about it. You're giving yourself to things that they take life from you. They're not actually giving you life. And it's counterproductive, Moses, to what you actually want to accomplish. Moses, you don't have to do everything. What? Do you know who I am? Do you know how capable I am? Do you know how multitasking I am? Moses, you don't have to do everything. You're doing everything. You don't have to do it. You're trying to do things you don't have to do and you shouldn't do. And for some of us as parents, maybe that's true for you. You're trying to do everything, but you shouldn't do everything. You can't do everything. You're at the office and you're driving everybody crazy because you're trying to do everything. You can't do everything. You shouldn't do everything. And because of it, there's some real problems developing. And there's some real problems developing for Moses because the language in the Hebrew is so amazing. Jethro says, Moses, you're about to become a sinkhole. You're about to become a sinkhole. You know what happens when a sinkhole becomes a sinkhole? Because before it's a sinkhole, it's just ground. Isn't that deep? I mean, that's pretty profound. It's you walk there. You could stand on it before it becomes a sinkhole. But a sinkhole is when, you know, the water and the streams underneath, when they dry up, and then because they dry up, the ground begins to fall in on itself and there's a major collapse. And this is kind of what Jethro is saying. Moses, there's some streams of life-giving. There's life-giving streams that are supposed to be flowing into your soul, and what you're doing and how you're doing it, it's drying up those streams. And if you cut those streams off for too long and nothing life-giving flowing into your soul, you're gonna have a major collapse. You're gonna dry up, you're gonna burn out, you're gonna be exhausted, you're gonna be frustrated, and it's inevitable. It's inevitable, Moses. Your pace is outmaneuvered your purpose. listen to me, he says, and I'm going to give you some advice. You didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give it to you. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way that they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Delegate this out, Moses. Build a structure, build a system. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. Do what only you can do, but leave the rest alone. Do what's most important and leave the rest alone. Let them decide the simple cases for themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, Moses, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain. Is it going to be a strain? Yes. Is life a strain? Yes. Is parenting a strain? Yes. Is a career a strain? Yes. Is building a business a strain? Yes. Is being a single mom a strain? Yes. Is life a strain? Yes. But if you go about it the right way and your pace and your purpose is in sync with each other, you can stand the strain and all the people are going to be satisfied. It's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for everybody else. So make the appropriate adjustments, Moses. Make the appropriate adjustments. And make sure that you adjust your life where you can give the best of you to the things that matter most. Live your life in a way that you can give the best of you to the things that matter most. Do what only you can do, Moses, and do what you can do best, and let somebody else do the rest. Don't let pace overtake purpose. And Moses, this is it. Moses listened to his father-in-law, which is not an easy thing to do. And he did everything he said. And that's wisdom. Moses said, okay, I see what you're saying. My pace, yeah, it's distracting me from my purpose. It's edging out my purpose. Moses was an important man. He was a leader. He was a father. He was a husband. He was a brother. He was a friend. He had all these parts of his life, but the pace had disconnected all of those parts from his purpose. And Moses was lucky enough and blessed enough to have a Jethro who said, listen, all this pace has disconnected you from your purpose, and you're giving the best of you to the things that don't matter most. So why don't you back up and readjust so that you can give the best of you to the things that matter most? Moses, don't outpace your purpose. And I think that's what Jethro, this unsung hero, would say to all of us. Don't outpace your purpose. Build some margin in your life. Stop with the secondary things so that you can give the best of yourself to the primary things. Stop overcommitting and overextending and underperforming. Start thinking about what you need to start doing. Think a little more about what you need to stop doing. Spend some time thinking about what do I need to do more of or less of, so that you can give the best of you to what matters most. Don't allow your pace to eclipse your purpose. Don't allow the pace of your life to rob you the capacity of giving the best of you to the most important things or undermining your ultimate goals. Is your pace right now, is it beneficial? Is it beneficial to your soul? Is it healthy? Is it beneficial to your family? Is it beneficial to your faith? Is it beneficial to the things that will outlive you? Has your pace made you a better parent, a better leader? Has your pace brought you more in tune with your purpose or out of sync with your purpose? Nothing, nothing brings life to our life like purpose. Realizing that we are all here for a reason. That there is a purpose to your life and mine which can help cohesively connect all the parts of your life and mine, bringing meaning and significance to all the parts of your life and mine. And so Jethro says, Moses, stop living accidentally, live intentionally, live purposely, and don't let your pace eclipse your purpose. Don't do that. Don't get swallowed up in the urgent and ignore the important. Adopt a pace that allows you to zero in on purpose. And by doing that, you may do a little less, but in the end, you'll do far more. As a parent, as a man, as a woman, as a student, as a leader, Heavenly Father, thank you for the advice of Jethro, a man who gave unsolicited advice when he saw that pace was getting in the way of purpose. God, we're all busy. We all have things to do. We got kids, and that's tough, and it's hard to navigate all the things that culture has created and all the things that work throws at us and life throws at us. And God, sometimes it's not really exactly clear the best way to do what we're doing. But I pray, Lord, that we'll lean in and we'll ask for wisdom to begin to think about what we're doing and why we do it the way we're doing it. And if pace is robbing us of the ability to live life with purpose or a greater sense of purpose, I pray that we'll recognize maybe if we are giving leftovers to the things that matter most. God, remind us that Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it to the full, and that full life is all about the purpose for which we are created, to further faith, to be an influence, to contribute to the greatest good, to add value and dignity to those around us. So God, help us to find a way to adjust our pace, to be in sync with our purpose. Because as purpose is lived, life flows in. Purpose has the ability to resurrect us from the death of monotony and the death of routine, to bring significance and meaning to everything in life. And I pray that happens for all of us. In Jesus' name, we all said,